You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. Greetings, we bless you in the matchless.
Greetings, we bless you in the matchless and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we just thank God for another day. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that He's allowed our golden moments to roll on a little while longer, and people are leaving here. But it's a sad indictment when they leave and they're not in Christ. And you always get that phone call that this one is passed and that one is passed. Pray for the family, and we're having homegoing celebration on this time or that time. But it's really, really a sad indictment when they die and they've not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we have to be mindful that time is winding up. And just look how fast the day is going by. And the Word of God says that He will shorten the days for the elect's sake, for our sake. He's shortening the days because the times are so wicked and so evil that He's shortening the days. And if you look, by the time you get up in the morning and you look around again, the sun is already setting. Time is winding up. So we need to come in. We need to repent, turn. We need to turn from our wicked ways. And we need to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you're a backslider, you need to come back into the fold. He's married to the backslider. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, if you're out of that ark of safety, Jesus is the ark of safety. You have to be in Him. You must be born again from above. You've been born down here. You was born in sin, shaped in iniquity from your mother's womb, but you have to be born again from above. In water and spirit, you have to be born again. You must be. And this is what Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him by night. He said, you must be born again. And there's no other way. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of new age, a lot of different things. But there's only one way. There's only one truth, and there's only one life. And that is in Jesus Christ. And if you follow anything else, you're going to be hoodwinked, bamboozled. You're going to be sidetracked, and you're going to be condemned to a burning hell, a place without Christ. So this is how He got me starting out. First thing this morning, you must be born again. So harden not your heart when the word go forth. You must receive the word and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must be in Him. You must live for Him because He died for you. Most gracious and eternal Father, we come right now. We come in the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus, the soon coming King. Lord, we just thank you for another day. Father, we lift up our hands. We adore you. We magnify you. We glorify you because you're God and you're God all by yourself. We thank you for the gift. Not the greatest gift, but the gift, the only gift that would save us, your son Jesus, your only begotten son, that gift, that precious gift that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we just thank you right now for the sacrifice, the shed blood on the cross, the stripes on your back that make us whole and healed. Oh, Lord, we just thank you right now for what you're doing in this season, Lord. We know that it's chaotic and it's crazy, but we know that you are still in control. And so we're looking to you. We're looking nowhere else. We're coming on bending knees between the porch and the altar. We're looking for you, Jesus. We're searching. We're crying out, seeking your face, seeking your heart, not your hand. We just want to be closer to you, Lord. Oh, speak on this morning through your word, Lord. Let them hear and see none of me, but all of you, Jesus, led by your Holy Spirit. Oh, we just thank you this morning for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, wherever they may be at, whatever they may be doing. Lord, let the word go forth with power and simplicity, that the least of them would understand it. Lord, that the lost will be saved and the backslider will be encouraged to come back into the fold. Lord, and the saints will be encouraged. Lord God, the atheists will turn and repent. Lord, we just thank you right now for your word, that two-edged sword that's piercing, Lord. We thank you for it right now. We thank you that it is spirit and it is truth. Lord, we know that it is life to these feeble bodies, Lord. We thank you that it feeds our spirit man, our spirit woman, that it strengthens us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, that comfort that you left for us, that bring all things to our remembrance. Every word that you said, Father, we know that the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance if we study and meditate on it. Oh, we just bless you and magnify you right now. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the owners of this radio station right now, Lord God. We thank you for the technicians, the men and women of God who come through making sure the songs and the word go out over the airwaves, Lord God. Bless them, strengthen them, continue to anoint them, Father. Give them provision for the vision. All the men and women of God who come through preaching, teaching, prophesying, praying, Lord God, over the airwaves. Just touch them right now, Lord. Strengthen them. Give them what they need. Continue to anoint them, Father. Encourage their hearts, Lord. Let them be led by your spirit. Let them not get weary in well-doing, for in due season they shall reap if they faint not. And we just thank you for what you're doing in this season. We thank you for what you've already done, what you're doing right now. And we thank you for what you have in plans for us, for our future. Father, we just bless you right now. We magnify you. You're so worthy, God. We thank you that you would be mindful of us while we were yet sinners. You sent your only son, and he gave his life for us. He died for us that we might live for him. And we just thank you right now. Touch all the bereaved families this morning, Lord. Give them comfort and peace. Let them know that you make no mistakes. Lord, we thank you right now for pouring out your healing virtue on all those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, because we know the stripes that you took on your back on that whipping post with that cat of nine tails. We know that every 39 covers every division of sickness and disease, which they call disease. We know that it's already covered. We give it to you this morning. We say it is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We just thank God for another opportunity to break the bread of life. We bless you and magnify you for tuning in this morning, because you could have been doing a lot of other things, but we thank God that you were able to tune in this morning and hear what thus says the Lord. I'm just grateful that he woke me up this morning with his finger of love, and he allowed me to be clothed, that I could put on my clothes by myself and in my right mind. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. And this morning we're looking at Ephesians 1. And last time I didn't get a chance to expound on 4, so I'm going back to 4. And I may touch on 15 and 16 a little bit too, if time allows. Because it's just so much meat on this bone, you run out of time, you know. And it reads as thus: according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the apostle Paul is letting the church at Ephesus, the remnant, because we talked about before that there was a lot going on in Ephesus. You know, they had the temple for Diana and all kind of pagan worship was going on. But there was a remnant that the apostle Paul is speaking to in this letter. And we also talked about that we believe that this letter could have been addressed to many of the other churches, that it was a blanket letter, that it could speak to what was going on in a lot of different areas and a lot of different churches. So this here is addressed to the Ephesians in Ephesus. And the apostle is letting them know that according as he had chosen us in him, he has chosen us, the remnant, those that would believe in Jesus Christ, those that have received him as their Lord and Savior. He died for the world. But everybody ain't going to receive him. Everybody ain't going to believe him. Everybody's not going to be saved because folk are hard-headed and they want to do their own thing. And sinning feels good. But the end thereof is death. The wages, you got to pay the cost for sinning. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a precious gift. So what he's telling them is, look, God has chosen us in him, in Christ. He's chosen us. He's handpicked us. That's amazing all by itself that God had us on his mind, that before you was a twinkle in your father's eye, in your mother's eye, that God already had you on his mind, that you was not a mistake. No matter how you were conceived, you were not a mistake. God already knew you. He told Jeremiah that before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Huh? I knew you and I had already ordained you as a prophet. So we all had an assignment way before. God already had a plan. And his plan for man was eternal salvation with him. Eternity, because he knew that man was going to mess up. He knew that man was going to fall. He already knew it. So he already had a lamb, his only begotten son, that was slain before the foundation. And this is what he's telling the church at Ephesus. Look, God has already chosen you. Huh? He's already chosen us. That remnant, those who will believe, those who will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because he's the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way because he's the one that paid the price for our salvation. He paid the price. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took the punishment for our peace. He was wounded for our transgressions, according to Isaiah 53:5. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, the stripes on his back, we are healed. That's past tense. It's already done. We just have to believe it and receive it and stand on it. I know the doctor gave you a bad report. I know they said that it's like this, but what does the Lord say? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord because he has the final say. And no matter what's going on around you and what they're saying and what's going on and what the news say, what the media says, what nobody says, Jesus has already paid the price for our peace. So we can rest in him. We can rest in him knowing if we are born again, if we have received him as our Lord and Savior, there's a peace that passes all understanding. We can rest in him, knowing that we know by faith. of the finished work on the cross, knowing that he's already paid the price, that we are surely saved. And we have that peace. We're not wondering if we leave him in the next 5 minutes where we're going to spend eternity. Because we know that we know. If you're living right, if you're Christ-like, if you're walking according to these commandments, this law, the law that he came and perfected, he didn't come to condemn us, but he come that we might be saved through him. And he didn't do away with the law. He perfected the law. This is the law. This is the commandments. This is his holy writ, the Bible, the word of God. It is the truth. It is Jesus. And if you want to have a relationship with him, a close, personal, intimate relationship with him, you have to get into this word. You have to be rooted and grounded in the word. This right here is our firm foundation. Jesus, the solid rock on which we stand as born again believers, the word of God. Before the foundation of the world, he has chosen us. Before the garden, he has chosen. We were with him in eternity. He had us on his mind. Before the enemy ever tempted Adam and Eve, before he ever said, let there be, we were already with him. Already with him in eternity. Out of time, out of Chronos, but in eternity, in Kairos, in Christ. We were in him in eternity. Just think about that. That is amazing all by itself. That is amazing all by itself. Before he said, let there be, before the foundation of the world, we were already with him in eternity. So we have to be mindful of just how powerful that is. The connection, that vertical connection that we already have in the realm of the spirit when we are born again, born from above, because that's our home. We're just pilgrims and sojourners in this old barren land just passing through. This is not our home. Eternity is our home. Heaven, that the heavenly atmosphere, that Eden, that atmosphere in eternity, that's our home. This is not our home. We're just here on assignment. We're passing through, trying to lead and point all the souls we can back to Jesus. All those that are lost, we're pointing them back to Jesus. We're encouraging them. We're praying for them. We're teaching and preaching and prophesying to them. We're coming along beside them and lifting them up when they're down. We're propping them up when they're leaning. We're building them up. We're edifying them. We're not here to look down on our brothers and sisters because we think we know two or three scriptures or we got a title. No. Ain't none of us have arrived. We won't never arrive. We're striving to be conformed to his image. We're striving. It's continuous. Until Jesus come back, we going to be striving. We're going to be learning. We're going to be trying to perfect this thing because none of us are perfect. Jesus even said none are perfect, none but the Father. So, and Jesus lived a sinless life when he was here. So we are to model that. He did that as an example that we can be his ambassadors, that we can be his disciples, that we can be like Christ, following him, Christians, Christ-like, that we can be following him. We're born again. We're kingdom-minded. We're kingdom-minded, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and the edification of the body. We're the body of Christ. He's the head, but we're the body. We're the body, so we should be governing accordingly. as he has given us position, as he has given us the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do the supernatural. Because in our natural man, we can't do it, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, all the time with us, if we are born again, if we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But if you have not, it don't apply to you. So before the foundation, we was already in eternity. So he sent us down, the ecclesia, down from the eternity. He sent us down here to lead all the folk we can to disrupt what the enemy's doing in the earth realm. Because the devil was up there, but he didn't do right. He wanted to be above the Most High. And he corrupted, just thinking, he corrupted a third of the angels that fell with him. So that's why he hates us so much, because he can't go back where we're trying to go. He's already been there and can't go back. So he's trying to take all the souls he can with him to hell. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. We have an opportunity because we've already been there in the spirit. And we're trying to go back when that time comes, once our assignment is up. You can't leave here until your assignment is up. So I don't care what the devil throws at you, what he come at you with, it ain't going to prosper. No weapons formed against you going to be able to prosper. Huh? And every lying tongue that rise up against you, we going to condemn it with the word. We going to condemn it with his word. That's the two-edged sword that we fight with. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't fight with nothing else but the word. It is written. So that's what we have to fight with, the word. The spirit leading us, the word is our weapon. That's how we fight. This is how we fight our battle. The word of God on our knees. Huh? Wielding that sword when we come up off our knees in prayer. Wielding that sword. Cutting. Before the foundation. We were already with him before the stars were hung in their sockets. We were already in eternity. That's powerful. I love that. I love that. That's amazing. That we should be holy. We got to be holy, for he is holy. Huh? Holiness without which no man shall see God. We can't see him unless we're holy. Huh? Consecrated, set apart for this work, for eternity. Sanctified. Christ-like, living and walking according to his statutes. According to this constitution, this word. When they see you, do they see Christ? Ask yourself that question. We should be reflecting him. We should reflect Christ. When they look at us, they should see Christ. They should see that love, that agape love, the faith. The love and the faith work together. We should display that for the world to see, that they might be drawn, they might be encouraged to come. And to be that salt of the earth and that light of the world. We should be shining for Christ. Huh? That they might exalt him. That they might come to him. Think about what you're doing. Think about the way you act, the way you speak, the places you go. Unless you're trying to draw them in that place. Yeah, we shouldn't be doing the same thing the world is doing. We shouldn't be looking like the world. We shouldn't be talking like the world. And dressing like the world, acting like the world. There should be a change. We should show some signs. There should be some signs that you've been saved, that you're living for Christ, that you're going to live for him and you're going to die for him, and ain't nobody going to change your mind. Your mind is made up and your heart is fixed on Christ. And you are his ambassadors here on earth, that, that you're displaying Christ. And you may be the only Christ they ever see if they don't receive him as their Lord and Savior. So we have to be mindful of that, that, that we're being watched. And more is caught than is taught. People listen to us all day long, but the greatest sermon we'll ever preach is how we live our lives, because they're watching us, because we say we saved and we follow in Christ. They're watching us. So we have to be holy, because if you're not holy, you ain't going to make it in. You ain't going to see him if you ain't holy. And without blame before him, in love. Love is who he is. Love is who he is. Love, God is love. So if we made in his image and after his likeness, we should be loved too. Yeah, we should be loved. They should see love when they see us. We should display that love, huh? We should live that love, not just speaking it, but it should be who we are. And there's a lot going on in the body. There's a lot going on in the body of Christ. And a lot of places there's no love. There's no love. And you might as well call it Ichabod, because the presence of the Lord is not there. The presence of the Lord is not there. The Holy Spirit is not there. So we need to check ourselves and come back into alignment with this word. Come back into alignment and leave a room for the Spirit to move. Not be so tight with schedules. And have our programs all planned out that the Spirit can't move, because we don't know what the Spirit want to do. The Spirit wants to move sometimes, and we so tight to our program that we sticking to it, because we're going to be out of him by 1:15, or we're going to be out of him by 11:45. And we don't yield to the Spirit. We got to yield to the Spirit. Let the Spirit have his way. Sometimes the Spirit will, the Holy Spirit will change your word that you have for the people. He will change how you pray for people. He would change what you say. You might have something all worked up in your mind, but the Holy Spirit would change it. So we have to be open, and we have to be led by the Spirit, that we won't be, we will be without blame. They can't blame us as the world. They can't charge us. Jesus said in the garden that the evil one comes, Satan comes, but he has nothing in me. I'm blameless. He has nothing in me. They can't accuse me of anything. They can have false accusations, but I ain't done nothing. So this is where we should be at. So until next time, remember, keep the faith. We love you. We're praying for you. Amen. Amen. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust the